Now, behind the words MCA Universal Home Video, the Earth appears in space. The planet Earth spins in a black, star-sprinkled sky. Dusty blue rings, like spotlight beams, focus on it with a golden word, Universal. An MCA company. Now, beneath a murky cartoon lake, a prehistoric creature swims. Lizard-like, with long flippered legs and a fish's back fin, it stares with bulging eyes. The creature moves swiftly against the strong current, with sharp snaps of its long, flat tail. Each time it stops to rest, it floats upward helplessly, then out of our view. Silvery bubbles float too in little trails toward the surface. In the stillness, a cloud of bubbles suddenly erupts from below, then speeds out of sight. Words appear in ripples like water, a Lucas Spielberg presentation. Another cloud of bubbles covers up the words, and new words appear, a Don Bluth film. The lizard creature darts out of the blackness after a tiny pink shrimp, which escapes by swimming away in little somersaults. On the shadowy lake bottom, creatures seem to disappear against rock formations. The lizard creature snaps and swallows the shrimp whole. Behind him, a giant fish strikes, nearly catching the creature in its slamming jaws. The shrimp eater escapes into a grove of plants. A dinosaur's head plunges underwater and bites a mouthful of weeds as a title appears, The Land Before Time. Green turtles swim through an opening in the sharp rocks, close to the lake floor. More long-tailed lizard creatures leap out of the water, then dive back under again.
Once upon this same earth, beneath this same sun, long before you, before the ape and the elephant as well, before the wolf, the bison, the whale, before the mammoth and the mastodon, in the time of the dinosaurs.
Come on!
Now the dinosaurs were of two kinds. Some had flat teeth and ate the leaves of trees. And some had sharp teeth for eating meat, and they preyed upon the leaf eaters. Then it happened that the leaves began to die. The mighty beasts who appeared to rule the earth were ruled in truth by the leaf. Desperate for food, some of the dinosaur herds struck out toward the west, searching for the Great Valley, a land still lush and green. It was a journey toward life.
Now, on the bank of the lake, a horned dinosaur with a flat face feeds beside a nest of eggs.
It was a march of many dangers. Sharp teeth stalked the herds, waiting to seize any who strayed. The leaf eaters stopped only to hatch their young.
Seven eggs in the nest quiver, and feet pop out of the topmost egg. A green head with a horn butt emerges and opens its big mouth wide. The hatchling hadrosaur rolls from the nest with the eggshell stuck on her back. Venturing through a hollow log, she discovers a mole and pounces on it. Curiously, she climbs into a tortoise's sharp jaws. An adult hadrosaur snatches her out safely in its floppy mouth.
Mama.
Her mother returns her to the nest. Now, two triceratops with bony frills behind their heads watch over their young. An unhatched egg races on 4 feet, poking from its shell. With a running start, it butts into its mother's horned nose until the shell falls away. The pink hatchling charges both of her parents' heads.
Some of the young seem born without fear.
The youngster stops budding and rubs her small, round head. The hatchlings hide under their mother as streaks of rain fall from the darkening sky. In the lake, long-necked apatosaurs with massive bodies feed on underwater plants. In their nests, one unhatched egg sits alone, surrounded by old, smashed shells. A claw-footed raptor sneaks to the water's edge.
Yet, even hatching could be dangerous.
An adult apatosaur lashes the intruder with its long neck. The egg tumbles down the ribs of a dinosaur skeleton, then rolls away on a trail of winding branches. It plunges into the lake, then quickly bobs to the surface. At the edge of a waterfall, it drops again and bounces over tangles of roots into a reptile's nest. The creatures scatter under the fallen egg.
One herd had only a single baby, their last hope for the future.
A dinosaur hatches.
And they called him Littlefoot.
Here I am.
His mother slowly brings her face down next to his. He leans so far to see her that he falls over backward. Her tongue covers him as she licks his ridged purple back. Smiling, Littlefoot grabs her head with his flat, round feet as she nuzzles his fat underbelly. One of the reptiles and a spiny-backed iguana return to look at Littlefoot. He scurries clumsily away from them to the safety of his mother.
Don't be frightened. Come out.
From behind his mother's tree-sized leg, he peers at the other creatures as they approach. A line of feathery beasts with wings like bats walks eagerly toward him. A creeping dragon plods behind. Littlefoot rolls onto his back and yawns sleepily, then shrinks from the sight of the animal so close to him. When he tries to run again, his mother bends low and lifts him by the wrinkly folds of his skin.
All that remained of his herd was his mother, grandmother, and his grandfather. He knew them by sight, by scent, and by their love. He knew they would be together, always.
Now, you be careful, my little foot.
On the ridge of his mother's neck, Littlefoot smiles up at his family, each of their faces 5 times larger than his entire body. He stamps out a nest in his mother's leathery skin and falls asleep.
Beautiful Littlefoot.
Later, on a misty day, Littlefoot's family searches for food among the bare branches of tall trees.
Mother, is this all there is to eat?
Oh, I'm sorry, my dear. The land has been changing. That is why we must walk as far as we can each day until we reach the great valley.
Littlefoot gnaws a bundle of dry sticks.
Littlefoot, quickly, come here. Look, up there. A tree star. It is very special.
A wide 5-pointed leaf, wet with fat drops of dew, hangs among the prickly branches. Littlefoot's mother plucks it free in her teeth. On the ground, it stands taller than Littlefoot himself.
A tree star.
It is very special. And it'll help you grow strong. Where we are going, there are so many of these leaves.
Littlefoot rolls over and bats the leaf into the air. Clutching it to him, he licks it.
Come along.
His grandparents share a smile.
The Great Valley is filled with green food like this. More than you could ever eat. And more fresh, cool water than you could ever drink. It is a wonderful, beautiful place where we can live happily with many more of our own kind.
Gee, when will we get there?
The bright circle must pass over us many times, and we must follow it each day to where it touches the ground.
He wears the leaf like a blanket.
Have you ever seen the Great Valley?
It takes her long neck a while to turn around.
No.
Well, how do you know it's really there?
Some things you see with your eyes. Others you see with your heart.
I don't understand, Mother.
You will, my son. You will.
He takes off the fresh tree star and starts to bite it, then stops and listens.
Littlefoot, don't you wander too far.
Through a stand of tall grass, Littlefoot sees the hatchling Triceratops butting her head against one of her parents. She takes off ferociously after a flying beetle, smashing through rocks with her bony armor. Littlefoot's mouth falls open with excitement.
Hey!
She crouches behind the beetle and snarls her beak-like mouth. The bug lifts its wings and squirts her with blue juice from its backside.
What are you laughing at?
She scrapes her claws against the bare ground. Littlefoot eagerly jumps out of the grass and does the same as she comes charging for him. An adult three-horn rushes after them and plants his heavy feet between the tiny dinosaurs. He lowers his pointed beak threateningly over Littlefoot's head.
Littlefoot!
Come, Sarah. Three-horns never play with long necks.
She sticks out her tongue.
Littlefoot.
Three horns never play with long necks.
The dinosaur parents lift their children, eye each other, and depart.
Long neck? Mother, what's a long neck?
Why, that's what we are, dear.
Oh. Well, why can't I play with that three horn? We were having fun.
Well, we all keep to our own kind. The three horns, the spike tails, the swimmers, the flyers. We never do anything together.
Why?
Well, because we're different. It's always been that way.
Well, why?
Oh, don't worry so much. When we reach the Great Valley, there will be many, many long necks for you to play with.
I wish we were there now.
Well, it's a long way yet. Past the great rock that looks like a long neck, and past the mountains that burn. Still a long way, but we'll get there.
Miles ahead on the other side of a forest, the great circle of the sun begins to set. At night, as Littlefoot's family sleeps against trees and rocks, a dragonfly buzzes around them. A frog resting on the grandfather's head catches the bug in his mouth. Littlefoot stares as the frog gulps it down, then hops away into the woods.
Hey, Hopper, come back!
He follows the frog to a rock passage.
Hey!
The three-horn, Sarah, bursts from the darkness.
You did? Go away! That's my Hopper.
I saw him first.
Well, he's in my pond.
She slides down the rocks into a muddy pool right on the heels of the frog. Littlefoot crashes in behind her. The pond is full of frogs trying to hide below the surface. Their croaking sends up round bubbles that reflect their bulging eyes and wide mouths. Sarah and Littlefoot pounce on them and drench themselves in the popped bubbles.
Over here!
Hey, this is fun!
Beyond the water's edge, something watches them. Its tall shadow spreads over the pond. Its steps shake the ground.
Sharp-toothed!
A sharp-toothed tyrannosaur runs on powerful hind legs through the shallow pond. Sarah and Littlefoot trip over each other trying to escape. They scoot into a thicket of thorn bushes as the sharp-toothed shadow draws closer. His red glowing eye searches for them in the thicket. Pushing his square head full of pointed teeth into the brambles, the tyrannosaur sniffs deeply. He can't see them hiding right under his nose. Shoving in deeper, he traps them under a thorny branch as he drives it into the dirt. When he lets up for a moment, Sarah and Littlefoot make a break. They slink away carefully to an opening in the bushes.
This way.
Mm-mm. Come back! You're going the wrong way!
Suddenly, they're in the open, and Sharptooth strikes. Vines tangle around Littlefoot and trap him, inches away from Sharptooth's snapping jaws. When he finally shoots free, the vines snap like a slingshot into Sharptooth's face. He rears out of the brambles and leaps on the hatchlings. A dinosaur's tail whips the Sharptooth off of his feet into a boulder. Struggling with his weak front legs to get up, he angrily smashes it.
Mother?
Run! Run!
Her feet slam the ground dangerously close to Sarah. With her enormous tail, the Apatosaur lashes again. Sharptooth crashes into the cliffs, but immediately springs onto her back. The hatchlings duck behind a rock in the shadow of the dinosaur fight. When Littlefoot's mother returns, a bite of skin is missing from her hide. She delivers a mighty tail punch that knocks Sharptooth out cold. He slides over loose rocks down a ravine. The brown earth shakes, then crumbles. A crack spreads over the ground, headed for the hatchlings. Littlefoot stares as it races between his feet, then scrambles out of danger before the hole can swallow him. A hilltop buckles under his mother, then Sharptooth is on his feet again. Gnashing his ferocious teeth, the beast stomps after the hatchlings, who gallop with all their might. They narrowly miss being trampled under his sharp claws by jumping onto his foot. The ground opens. Hot steam and fire burst into Sharptooth's face. The hatchlings fall, then Sharptooth. The ground tilts and he comes sliding into them toward the edge of a cliff. They grab his tail as they go flying over the side. Sharptooth flicks them from his tail and they race up his back as the cliff crumbles beneath them. Littlefoot's mother whips her tail over Sharptooth. As the Tyrannosaur plummets into the deep ravine, Littlefoot's mother catches the hatchlings by their tails. Once on solid ground, Sarah takes off in a panic. She calls for help, and her father answers. Sharp rocks sprout from the ground. The land ripples like water. Creatures tumble over rolling earth. Sarah sees her parents with the longnecks. The earth splits.
In this time of the clash of continents, a great earthquake split the land. Herds were divided. Families were cut in two. Littlefoot was separated from his grandparents.
As the dust from the quake settles, a canyon appears between the two rock cliffs.
Sarah!
Mama! Daddy!
Sarah was on one side of the divide. Her parents were on the other.
That night, rain falls.
Father!
Littlefoot climbs over jagged rock formations left by the quake and stares into the black storm clouds overhead.
Mother!
He hops over a gap in the rocks. Through the pouring rain, he makes out her shape.
Mother!
Mother?
Oh.
Please get up.
I'm not sure I can, Littlefoot.
Yes, you can. Get up.
She lifts herself to her feet, then collapses. Her face comes to rest on the ground before her son. A flash of blue lightning lights the sky.
Sweet Littlefoot, do you remember the way to the Great Valley?
I guess so. But why do I have to know? You're gonna be with me.
I'll be with you. Even if you can't see me.
What do you mean, if I can't see you? I can always see you.
Littlefoot, let your heart guide you. It whispers, so listen closely.
They lie nose to nose on the wet ground.
Mother? Mother? Mother?
The night grows darker as the storm pounds over Littlefoot and his mother, lying still on the earthquake rubble. In the sky, the rain lessens and the heavy clouds move on. After the rain, a new day dawns. Littlefoot slips from a mossy ledge and slides to the bottom of a ravine. He belly flops onto a round green back with spiny humps on it.
Hey! What's going on here?
The ankylosaur has an alligator's short legs.
What's your problem? You're not hurt.
It's not fair. She should have known better. That was a sharp tooth. It's all her fault.
All whose fault?
Mother's.
Oh. I see.
Why did I wander so far from home?
Oh, it's not your fault. It's not your mother's fault. Now, you pay attention, old rooter.
Yeah, but...
It is nobody's fault. The great circle of life has begun. But you see, not all of us arrive together at the end.
What'll I do? I miss her so much.
And you'll always miss her. But she'll always be with you. As long as you remember the things she taught you. In a way, you'll never be apart. For you are still a part of each other.
My tummy hurts.
Well, that too will go in time, little fella. Only in time.
The old dinosaur shuffles away. Later, on the branch of a rotting log, a fat red berry sprouts. A tiny flying dinosaur picks it in his hooked beak and falls onto the log. His head is larger than his round blue body, and he stands on fat three-toed feet. His wings are made of a thin skin instead of feathers. Other flying dinosaurs arrive and chase each other for the fruit. They are baby pterodactyls, each one a different color. A purple flyer gets the berry and flaps away, with the others hanging onto his feet. Another knocks it from his hand, then carries the berry triumphantly over his head. It passes one by one over the heads of the baby flyers to the end of the line. The blue flyer, who first picked the berry, gets it back for a second until a turtle snaps it from his hands with his long tongue. An adult pterodactyl has a leaf full of berries, one for each of the seven babies. They march off in a line, passing directly in front of the sad-faced Littlefoot, who doesn't seem to notice.
At first, Littlefoot could only think about his mother. He hardly noticed his hunger and forgot about the great valley and that he must somehow reach it.
The flyer returns and offers the berry to Littlefoot, who rests his head on his front feet and stares blankly. The flyer's smile fades when Littlefoot turns his face away. Later, a dewy tree star floats from the sky. From high above a treeless desert, the green leaf rocks gently to the ground, past towering columns of stone. In the sand, two sets of footprints, one large and deep, one small and shallow, wind around the jagged rocks. Littlefoot climbs into one of the footprints and rubs his chin lovingly over its outline. A golden sunbeam breaks through the rosy clouds, and the shadow of the tree star spins over him.
Littlefoot.
He crouches cautiously as he watches the tree star fall inside the dinosaur print. The sunbeam disappears. Before Littlefoot's eyes, the leaf dew forms a pool in the center, reflecting his wide eyes and open mouth.
Dear Littlefoot, do you remember the way to the great valley?
He shakes his head no.
Follow the bright circle past the great rock that looks like a long neck, and past the mountains that burn.
Littlefoot idly paws the sand.
I'll be in your heart, Littlefoot. Let your heart guide you.
He lifts the tree star from her footprint and drags it across the sand toward the sunset. Later, wearing the leaf like a hat, he suddenly smiles.
Mother!
On a rock wall, the tall shadow of a long neck jumps.
Mother!
As he bounds toward the shadow, it hops and runs ahead of
him.
The running shadow gets smaller as Littlefoot catches up to it. At the cliff face, he stands on his hind legs and licks his own shadow affectionately. His wagging tail slows and he blinks his eyes.
Then Littlefoot knew for certain that he was alone. And that though the Great Valley was far away, and the journey there was perilous, he would have to find his way, or the chain of life would be broken.
Sarah!
The Threehorn turns away from him as he spots her around a bend in the canyon.
Sarah! Hello!
What do you want?
Nothing. Where are you going?
I'm going to find my own kind. They're on the other side.
I've looked all over here. You can't climb up the other side.
Maybe you can't.
She steps to a slippery lower ledge.
Wait! I'm going to the Great Valley. We could help each other.
A Threehorn does not need help from a long neck.
Sarah loses her footing and slips down a rock slide to the canyon floor.
Well, at least we wouldn't be alone.
Well, when I find my sisters, I won't be alone. So go away. Threehorns can be very dangerous. And they only talk with other Threehorns, and they only travel with other Threehorns.
Sarah disappears into a cave hundreds of feet below Littlefoot. He picks up the tree star and drags it in his mouth toward the setting sun. As he crosses the steaming cracked earth, his long shadow falls in a straight line behind him, then over the canyon ledge. Later, underwater, the young hadrosaur nibbles food from a pond's pebbled floor. Pushing off from a stone with her long, flat feet, she swims to the shoreline, where Littlefoot sits on a rock and stares into the water. The hatchling hops onto Littlefoot's rock and studies him.
Hello.
She's smaller than his head.
I said hello.
A tear falls from his eye.
What is your name? Maybe you cannot talk yet, huh? Huh?
Don't you know anything? Long necks don't talk to, or whatever you are.
Me? I'm a long neck too, see? And I have a long tail like you.
She stretches out to look long. Littlefoot rolls his eyes.
All right. I'm not a long neck, I'm a big mouth. But I am all alone, I am.
Frowning, she slouches.
I lost my family in the big earth shake.
You want to go with me?
Yeah! Okay. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do.
All right, come on. But you'll have to keep up.
I will keep up. I will. Where are we going?
To the Great Valley. I'm not going to stop until I find my grandparents.
Do you think my family went to the Great Valley too? Huh?
Maybe. My mother said it's where all the herds were going.
Oh, I hope.
My name's Littlefoot.
Mine is Tucky. Yep, that is what it is. Yep.
Later, they hopscotch over cracked patches in the dry earth.
Don't step on a crack or you'll fall and break your back. My stomach is talking.
Mine too. I wonder what this tastes like.
He is talking.
tree.
No, it isn't.
You should not eat talking trees. No, no, no.
Littlefoot tugs on a branch and a pterodactyl falls out onto his head. The flyer springs from the branch, then crash lands through a hole in the patched ground.
Who are you?
My name, Petrie.
Petrie, huh? Funny name.
I flied?
No, you falled.
I fall?
You cannot fly? But how did you get way up there?
I climb.
But you are a flyer, not a faller.
Hot things to fly.
Petrie flaps his leathery wings and rises a few inches.
I guess it is. We can't do it.
Nope. We cannot do that, all right.
Now in the canyon caves, Sarah hops across rocks where pink and yellow sunlight shines from an opening in the canyon. She creeps backward down a long tail between two clawed feet, then slides down a slick underbelly to the floor. A shadow passes and light shines on the white fangs of Sharptooth. She runs for cover as loose rocks sprinkle from the walls and ceiling. Quivering, she peeks out at Sharptooth, who remains still as pebbles rain over him. Sarah gathers her courage and flashes a rascally grin. She slinks towards Sharptooth, lying motionless on his back. Sticking out her long pink tongue, she wags it at him.
No.
She butts her head against the Tyrannosaurus' face, then trots deeper into the cave for a running charge. Galloping at full speed, she fixes her attention on the beast's swollen eyelid. The yellow eye suddenly opens, and Sarah sees herself in it. Skidding her feet onto the dirt, Sarah turns herself around. She gets out of sight before Sharptooth slams down his heavy tail. Now, Littlefoot and his companions.
Shh! Quiet. Stay low.
They crouch behind a ridge as a fin-backed Dimetrodon approaches. The giant lizard flicks a forked tongue and moves on. As Littlefoot ventures out into the open, tiny Ducky and even tinier Petrie stay close by. Petrie clambers up Littlefoot's back and clings to his small head.
You got nice Flathead.
My name is not Flathead. My name is Littlefoot.
Littlefoot?
Are you just gonna stay up there?
Yes.
Well, you can't.
Whoa.
You're tearing my tree star.
It is very special. Very. His mother gave it to him. She did.
Mother present. Very important. Oh, yes. I keep safe. Don't let nobody's touch.
He rolls it up and shoulders it.
Yep, Petrie. You keep it safe. Yep, yep, yep.
Nope, nope, nope. I'm not a carrier. Get off.
Yai, yai.
You're a flyer. Now start flying.
Ducky flaps her arms.
Open your wings, Petrie. Open.
Littlefoot runs with Petrie on his head.
Now open your skinny wings.
Higher! Higher like a flyer!
Danger!
There! Ahead!
They crash into a dinosaur skeleton, tangled in some vines. Littlefoot gets trapped inside it and runs wildly, still holding the rolled tree star in his mouth. The bones fly off him and on to Sarah, who comes running from the opposite direction.
Why are you so frightened?
Frightened? Me? Why are you so frightened?
We're not frightened. Are we?
Nope, nope. Well, you should be. I could be with the other three horns, but I chose to come back to warn you. I met the Sharptooth!
Sharptooth!
Come on, Sarah. Sharptooth is dead. He fell down into the big underground.
And that's where he met me. Oh,
Dear brave Sarah.
Dear brave Sarah.
Yes, I am brave. Sharptooth is dead.
My father told me that flatheads had very small brains.
She pounces onto a stick of wood.
I was all alone with them in the dark. Just the Sharptooth and me. I could hear him breathing.
Ducky also hops on the stick, which balances like a seesaw over a root.
I could see his one big, ugly eye looking for me.
What did you do? Huh?
I walked right up to him. I looked him straight in the eye and said...
As she springs forward, the seesaw throws Ducky into the air and through the trees. A bouncy vine catches her and breaks her fall into a patch of rocks. She spots a nest of dried grass nearby and peeks inside.
Ducky!
She finds an unhatched egg.
Hello!
She puts her ear to the white egg twice her size.
Hello?
The egg shifts and cracks. Two sleepy eyes peer out, then duck back inside.
You should come out. You should. You are late. Yes, you are. Yep, yep, yep.
Frowning, she opens the eggshell.
Come out. You are all alone. Are you not scared? Huh?
The creature's pointy beak yawns.
We're going to the Great Valley. You can go with us. Yes, you can.
You are a spike tail, so we will call you Spike.
The hatchling is a stegosaur whose back and tail spines are still knobby humps. Hungrily, he eats his way out of the nest. His turtle-like beak snaps the long grasses, then devours them. Spike is much larger than Ducky, but not as tall as Littlefoot. When all the grass is gone, he settles his knees and elbows on the rock bed and falls asleep.
Ducky!
Later, Petrie and Ducky ride on Littlefoot while Spike lumbers behind.
So the five hungry dinosaurs set off for the Great Valley. There had never been such a herd before. A long neck, a three horn, a big mouth, a flyer, and a spike tail. All together, all knowing that if they lost their way, they would starve or find themselves in Sharptooth's shadow.
Later, they discover a stream beneath a cascading waterfall.
Tree stars grow where there's lots of water. If we follow this water...
Petrie sniffs the stream.
No green foods here, and I'm still hungry.
I'm still hungry, too.
Littlefoot jerks them off his head.
Can you smell something?
I smell.
Ducky's on his head.
I smell. Ducky.
You smell me?
I smell water. I smell... tree stars!
They find a grove of green trees. Slow-moving Spike hangs behind.
Spike! Hurry up!
Ducky! Spike! Get out of there!
A band of longnecks bursts through the loose rocks and tramples past the herd of youngsters on its way to the grove. They gorge themselves on the tree leaves until the branches are bare.
They're eating our food! Look, look what they're doing! So greedy. What about me? I'm still hungry.
You hungry? I empty all the way to the top. Now we at the Great Valley and still got no green foods. Oh, we be hungry forever.
Oh, Petrie, Sarah was wrong. This isn't the Great Valley.
Oh, it is not a great anything. Nope.
Well, we better go down and see if there's anything left.
Petrie,
Do you think you could fly up there?
No, no.
Petrie, do not feel sad. It is all right. Many things do not fly. Rocks, trees, sticks, spikes.
One small tree still has leaves, but it's taller than Littlefoot, who stands on his hind legs to reach up the trunk. Ducky scampers up his back to his head and boosts Petrie into the air.
No!
Ducky, push Petrie towards the branches.
Spike's head jacks up Littlefoot.
All right, Spike. Not too fast. Whoa!
Spike lifts them all off the ground.
Hey, not too fast.
At the top of the pile, Petrie looks down past Littlefoot's long neck to Spike on the ground. His view blurs out of focus. Under a nearby tree, Sarah slaps the ground.
You four look so ridiculous!
Littlefoot wraps his front legs around the tree trunk and stands tall. Ducky balances on his nose and holds Petrie by the feet. With his eyes shut, the little flyer grabs leaves and throws them over his shoulders. Spike rolls out his tongue and catches them as they drift down. Then he and Littlefoot drop to the ground.
Ducky, Petrie, come down here. We've got great food.
Ducky kisses him and lets go.
Falling
from a broken twig, Petrie stretches his wing flaps and catches an air current. Littlefoot blows a puff of air beneath Petrie, and he sails down to the soft pile of leaves.
I flied?
Ducky glances away.
Come on, Sarah! We've got green food!
I can get my own green food!
Scuffing the dirt with her back feet, she charges into another tree trunk. When it stands rigidly, she beats her head against it. Littlefoot carries over a mouthful of leaves and tosses them to Sarah, just as she butts the tree again. She munches them eagerly with a testy grin. Filling her cheeks, she backs away from the tree.
See? I can take care of myself. All by myself.
She stomps to a jutting rock ledge.
And I'm not afraid to be alone. I know my way to go, and I'm not afraid of Sharptooth. I hope he doesn't eat any of you.
Don't worry, there isn't any Sharptooth.
Sharptooth! Spike!
Ducky beckons with her arms, and Spike follows. On the rock ledge, Sarah grumpily rests her head on her folded front legs. Littlefoot finds a deep dinosaur footprint. Looking over his shoulder, he sees the others lying down beside Sarah. Burly Spike shoves her over on the rock ledge and snuggles in beside her, while Ducky and Petrie tuck themselves beside him. Littlefoot squeezes his eyes shut and lowers his head.
There isn't any Sharptooth.
He stands beneath a toppled tree, torn out of the ground at its roots. Dragging his feet, he walks back to the rim of the deep footprint and lowers himself inside to sleep. The tree star lies spread out on the ground nearby. A blanket of fog hangs about Littlefoot's makeshift shelter. He blows a misty breath through the nostril slits between his eyes. On the rock ledge, Ducky sits up, wide awake, beside her sleeping friends. Spike's beakish mouth ripples with each breath. Scowling, Ducky covers her ears, then burrows under Spike's fat belly. Her tail droops. She backs out from under Spike and staggers sleepily off the rock ledge toward Littlefoot. On her long hind legs, Ducky casts a shadow under the full moon. Brilliant stars dot the midnight blue sky. She hops into the hole with Littlefoot, who still lies awake on the ground. She nuzzles her whole body against Littlefoot's head and drifts back to sleep. Littlefoot smiles and shuts his eyes as Petrie arrives and claws his way up Littlefoot's flat head. The ground shakes as Big Spike jumps in and nestles beside them. Alone on the rock ledge, Sarah shivers in her sleep. Startled awake, she searches around the empty ledge. Sarah bites her lip and hugs herself against the cold. Under the hazy white moon, she rises and makes her way toward the footprint. When Littlefoot sees Sarah coming, he rolls over and cuddles her next to him. The little herd sleeps in a heap in the footprint's round heel beneath the broken tree trunk. Above them, insects crowd the tree's crooked roots near a delicate spider's web. In the morning, the insects are gone. Only dewdrops hang in the spider's web. White fog drifts low over the ground beneath the pink sky. Sarah peeks out of the hole.
Wake up!
Hey, stop that!
Sharptooth.
Sarah, stop it!
He'll eat us! He'll eat us!
Run! Stop! Come back!
Sharptooth's clawed foot fits in the footprint. The youngsters bolt for the canyon wall. Ahead of them, a tiny crevice is barely big enough for them to fit through. Sharptooth's face jams into the hole after them. Crashing through the other side, they roll head over heels down another ridge.
Now will you believe me?
I'm sorry. We're safe now.
Nobody's safe with you.
Littlefoot sees a rock shaped like a dinosaur.
Look! It's the rock that looks like a long neck. Just like my mother said, we're going the right way! The way to the Great Valley!
Littlefoot had been wrong about the Sharptooth, but the others followed him. Their only hope was to reach the Great Valley, and Littlefoot alone knew the way.
The herd struggles through soft, ashy ground and over high rocks while black flakes fall like snow around them. Littlefoot glares when the others stop for rest.
Come on, get up. We're going the right way. Gotta keep moving up.
Oh, you can't quit now. What if the Great Valley's just over the top of these rocks?
Though they were sore stumped and tired, Littlefoot urged them on. He'd never seen the Great Valley, but his heart told him that they were close. Surely at the top, they'd behold it. Finally,
they drag themselves to a mountain summit where a harsh, dusty wind blows out of a deep crater. When the wind lessens, the herd sees a desolate brown valley below them.
This is your Great Valley?
You're crazy!
I'm leaving.
Sarah, we have to keep following the bright circle.
I'm taking the easy way for once.
But it's the wrong way!
Who says?
My mother!
Then she was a stupid long neck, too.
Take that back!
Never!
Take it back!
No!
Littlefoot butts her. They both fall from the rim.
Spike!
Spike!
Duffy and Petrie hang on as Spike slides down after them. Sarah charges Littlefoot.
You!
The others crouch behind a boulder as the fight continues.
Let go!
When Sarah flies into the boulder and smashes it, they scatter. Behind another rock, Spike buries his head in a sand pile. The sand starts to shift, and Spike slides toward the dinosaur fight. He lumbers for cover, leaving deep footprints behind. Littlefoot's round back smashes the stone where the others hide. When he gets his footing, Sarah knocks him down again, then thrusts her horned nose into the air. As she walks away from the herd, Littlefoot stares after her tearfully and pouts his lower lip.
Go on! Still the wrong way! We never wanted you with us anyway! Come on! We have to keep going!
He starts up the crater slope toward the sun. Spike follows Sarah.
Come on!
Ducky and Petrie sit panting on the crater floor.
Sarah's way is easier.
I think so, too.
Littlefoot glares and continues picking his way up the slope.
Let him wait! Whoa.
Rocks crumble under Petrie's claws.
No, be angry. Wait!
He tumbles into the crater. Later, a river of fire flows between cone-shaped volcanoes. Thick orange lava erupts from the earth as Sarah leads the herd over black rocks, hardened into frozen waves. Petrie clings to her bony head while Ducky and Spike follow.
I wish Littlefoot was here with us now.
Me too.
Spike stops where a green stalk grows from the hard rock.
Together.
At a fork in the path, Sarah looks down the left-hand road. Bare white bones block the way. Whole dinosaur skeletons lie in a bubbling black pool below them. A rock overpass leads across the pool, but a large piece of it is missing. Sarah jumps, and Petrie falls off her back into the hot pit of tar. Smoke and fire pour from a mountain. Littlefoot slides along the slick ground and finds Spike and Ducky stranded on a rock surrounded by lava.
Littlefoot!
Ducky!
Littlefoot!
Hang on! I'm coming!
Spike lies on the sinking rock with his feet tucked closely about him. On solid ground, Littlefoot topples another stone and forms a bridge to his two friends. They flee safely.
Quick! This way!
At the tar pit, the three link noses and tails to reach Petrie, who struggles to stay afloat.
Petrie, I'm so
happy! Get Petrie!
Ducky plunges under and gets stuck herself until Petrie digs into Spike's nose and grabs her.
Petrie, go!
Spike bites his lip and tugs. Littlefoot wraps his tail around a tree stump. The little ones climb out, but Spike and Littlefoot fall in. Elsewhere, Sarah flees from a sharp-toothed dinosaur with a bony skull cap, which he uses like a hammer. Two boneheads hammer each other. A third bonehead approaches.
Help me! Help me! Help!
The claw-footed dinosaurs have her surrounded. A gooey black monster with horns and an elephant's trunk waddles out of a cave. Sarah cowers as the boneheads scatter. The monster grabs Sarah's tail in its trunk and lifts her into the air.
Help! Help! Petrie, Spike, Ducky, help!
Sarah, it is us!
Three pairs of eyes blink at Sarah under the tarry goo. The monster is really her friends, covered with black tar and sticks. Littlefoot lets go of her from his tail.
Oh, get out of my way!
She falls on her face in a tar puddle. Sticking out her tongue, she walks into a rock. She bites her tongue. Sarah turns up her nose and tail to them, looks away. The herd watches from the edge of an upper ridge.
Sarah?
Sarah was still too proud to admit that she'd gone the wrong way.
Sarah lies down beside a waterfall and buries her face in her front legs. Now, near the bottom of a clear pond, four small turtles narrowly escape a dinosaur's heavy foot. Littlefoot paddles over the pond's deep center pit until his feet touch the bottom at the shallow edge. Petrie flits from Littlefoot's head into the water.
Sharptooth!
Spike plunges his head underwater. The others climb on his back and take cover.
Let's get rid of him once and for all.
What'll we do?
Look, we'll coax him to the deep end of the pond. He can't swim with those scrawny arms. Me and Spike will go up and push that big rock on top of his head, and then he'll fall off into the water.
Petrie, you whistle when he's just at the right spot, where the water gets dark. Now we need some bait.
He smiles calmly at Ducky.
Me? Oh, no. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
Later, the Tyrannosaur enters a dark underground cave. Ducky stands at the cave entrance with a bright yellow sun at her back. Sharptooth walks crouched over with his thick tail raised in the air. From behind a rock, Ducky licks her lips and opens her floppy mouth. She ducks as Sharptooth stands up straight. Peeking over the rock, she stares into the cavern's empty passageways. Nervously, she climbs over her rock shelter, then hides behind it again. Slowly, she backs up on her flat feet toward the mouth of the cave. He's behind her. Ducky races out, with Sharptooth snapping at her tail. They fall down the slope into the pond. Underwater, Ducky hides beneath a rock shelf, while Sharptooth slaps the water with his tail and feet. On the cliff edge, Petrie points frantically and tries to pucker his beak. Littlefoot and Spike strain against the boulder.
Push, Spike! Push it for your life!
Petrie smacks Sharptooth's nose with pebbles. The beast drives his head into the cliff and knocks Petrie loose in the air. Sharptooth's steamy breath blows Petrie like a falling leaf. The flyer's face brightens. Sharptooth skims his fangs across the water after Ducky, unable to catch her. From the top of the cliff, Petrie puffs out his chest and leaps for the sky. He dive-bombs Sharptooth's red eye and pulls the eyelid shut. Sharptooth jumps straight out of the water and onto the cliff. Sarah charges the boulder. Sharptooth puts his weight on the boulder, but the three young dinosaurs push it over the edge. As he falls, he snaps his teeth around Petrie's tail. The pond's deep pit swallows them both. From the cliff, the rest of the herd stares at a rippling circle on the water's surface.
She was my friend. Poor Petrie.
The herd walks with heavy feet away from the cliff. Teary-eyed Ducky stays behind.
Poor, poor Petrie. Petrie.
Stop! You go without Petrie?
Petrie.
He flops over, exhausted.
Petrie! You're safe! Yep, 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 yep.
Overhead, thin purple clouds appear.
Littlefoot.
The clouds form the shape of Littlefoot's mother.
Littlefoot.
Mother!
The cloud's long neck turns to him.
Littlefoot.
Mother? I tried to do what you told me. Just too hard. I'll never find the Great Valley.
The clouds fade.
Mother! Mother! Don't go, Mother! Don't go!
He trots after the clouds, which flow through the rock formations. Gathering like a twisting gray rope, the cloud trail speeds low above Littlefoot's head. He runs faster, smiling, through a bending tunnel to a cliffside, where his mother's shape appears again. A shaft of golden light shines through her, onto him. Below the overlook, a shadow lies between the cliff faces, where a river runs into the distance. His mother's light expands and bathes the entire valley in sunshine. The river basin spreads as far as Littlefoot can see, luxurious with fresh grass and green trees.
Great Valley!
Littlefoot's brown eyes open wide. The herd tears through the bending tunnel.
Littlefoot, you found it!
Herds of all kinds dot the green grass along the riverbanks below them.
The Great Valley was all they dreamed it would be. A land of green, of leaves, and life. There were waterfalls, grassy meadows, enough tree stars to feast on forever. And grazing upon them, their families.
Ducky's sisters.
This is our new brother, Spike!
The young Big Mouths swim in a circle around Spike while Ducky's parents nuzzle him affectionately. Now, Petrie.
Mama, I am flyer!
His flapping wings blow his brothers and sisters off a tree branch. Now, the three horns.
Daddy!
Sarah?
She gently touches noses with him. Dozens of other three horns graze nearby. Littlefoot stands between two long necks, their skin wrinkled with age.
And Littlefoot found his grandmother and grandfather at last. The same loving faces he'd looked into on the day of his birth.
In Littlefoot's memory, he tumbles out of his eggshell, then yawns sleepily on his mother's back. He remembers her bathing him and the first tree star he saw, which was bigger than he was. There was the night he saw the frog and popped bubbles in the pond with Sarah. He thinks about sleeping in the footprint, nestled beside all of his friends. As he recalls seeing his mother among the clouds, his memory returns to the present day.
And they all grew up together in the valley, generation upon generation, each passing on to the next the tale of their ancestors' journey to the valley long ago.
The young friends embrace.
Don't lose your way with each passing day. You've come so far. Don't throw it away.
The Land Before Time. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service WGBH Boston. Described by Robin Sitton. Descriptions read by Chloe Lehman. Major funding for DVS is provided by the United States Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Credits, directed by Don Bluth. Produced by Sullivan Bluth Studios, Ireland Limited. Producers, Don Bluth, Gary Goldman, John Pomery. Executive producer Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. Co-executive producers Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy. Music composed by James Horner. If We Hold On Together, music and words by James Horner and Will Jennings. Produced by Peter Asher. Performed by Diana Ross. With the voice talents of Judith Barcy as Ducky, Burke Burns as Daddy Tops, Gabriel Damon as Littlefoot, Bill Irwin as Grandfather, Pat Hingle as Narrator and Rooter, Candy Hudson as Sarah, Will Ryan as Petrie, Helen Shaver as Littlefoot's mother. Screenplay by Stu Kreiger. Story by Judy Freudberg and Tony Geis. Production designer Don Bluth. Supervising executive for Sullivan Bluth Studios Ireland Limited, Morris F. Sullivan. Production manager Thad Wineland. Production supervisor Kathy J. Carr. Film editors Dan Molina and John K. Carr. Storyboard, Don Bluth, Larry Lecker, and Dan Kunster. Assistant directors, G. Sue Shakespeare, David Steinberg, and Russell Boland. Layout supervisor, David Getz. Layout artists, Rick Bentham, Mark Swanson, Mark Swan, and Richard Faudry. Background stylist, Don Moore. Background artists, Barry Atkinson, Sonia Pinchapong, Carl Jones, Mannix Bennett, and David McCamley. Directing animators, John Pomeroy, Dan Kunster, Linda Miller, Lorna Pomeroy, Ralph Zondag, and Dick Zondag. The animators, Anne-Marie Bardwell, Victoria Brewster, Cullum Duggan, Ken Duncan, Jeff Etter, Mark Fisher, Michelle Gagné, Raul Garcia, Patrick Gleason, Kent Hammerstrom, T. Daniel Hofstede, John Hopper, Skip Jones, Jean Morel, Paul Newberry, Ralph Palmer, Gary Perkovac, and John Power. Special effects directing animator, Dorse A. Lanfer. Special effects animators, David Bossert, Kathleen Quaife Hodge, Tom Hush, Diane Landau, Joey Mildenberger, Steve Moore, Don Paul, Bob Simmons, and David Tidgewell. Character key supervisor, Vera Lanfer. Character key assistants, Ben Burgess, Nola Crombie, Edward Goral, Anne Heaney, Sylvia Hofnagels, Helen Lawler, Marion Mathau, Ashley McGovern, Mark Pudliner, Terry Shakespeare, Rusty Stoll, Jeff Topping, Wendell Van Essen, and Sally Voorhees. Rough assistant animation supervisor, Kathy Jones, animation checking, Carla Washburn, Lisa Joko, Pam Clayman, Mary Walsh, and Michelle McKenna. Final checking, Saskia Ravori and Robin Police. Key color stylists, Carmen Oliver and Susan Vanderhorst. Color stylists, Lori Curran, Violet McKenna, Donald Freeney, and Suzanne O'Reilly. Special effects painting, Shirley Sam Mapes. Production camera optical effects, supervisor, Jim Mann, SOC. Animation camera, David R. Anke, Aidan Farrell, John Fitzgerald, Gary Hall, Gary Jones, Emer Joyce, Scott McCarter, Fiona Mackle, Emma Miller, Kieran Morris, John O'Flaherty, Etna Quinn, Eric Ryan, Rocky Solotoff, and Graham Tiernan. Xerography supervisor, Terry Eddings, supervisor Xerox checking, Daryl Karstensen, paint lab supervisor, Deborah Rykoff, cell painting supervisor, Olga Taran Craig, color markup supervisor, Nancy Levy Bossert, inking supervisor, Jacqueline Hooks. Voices in order of appearance. Pat Hingle as narrator, Helen Shaver as Littlefoot's mother, Gabriel Damon as Littlefoot, Bill Irwin as grandfather, Candy Hudson as Sarah, Burke Burns as Daddy Tops, Pat Hingle as Rooter, Judith Barcy as Ducky, Will Ryan as Petrie. Casting by Nancy Nayer. Associate producer, Deborah Jellin Neumeyer. Story consultants, Brent Maddock and Steve Wilson. Additional character animation, Charlie Bonifacio, Jesse Cosio, John Hill, Sylvia Hofnagels, Fernando Moro, Wendy Perdue, Mark Pudliner, David Simmons, Conrad Winterlich, Kevin Werzer. Apprentice assistant directors, Moya Mackle and Nuala O'Toole. Scene planning, Russell Boland, Aaron O'Reilly and David Steinberg. Apprentice scene planners, Sean Dempsey and Kip Goldman. Assistant film editors, Thomas V. Moss and Fiona N. Traylor. Assistant layout, Elizabeth Byrne, Fred Riley, and Thomas Daly. Special effects in-betweeners, Orla Madden, James Mansfield Jr., Jeanette Owens, John O'Neill, Connor Thunder, Garrett Wren, Peter Matheson. Rough in-between assistant supervisor, Tamara Anderson. Rough breakdown assistants, Donacata Daly, Hope Devlin, John Eddings, Edward Gribben, Tom Higgins, Noel P. Kiernan, Sandra Ryan, Greg Tiernan. Rough animation in-betweeners, Jane Anderson, Peter Anderson, Leslie Ost, Paul Bolger, David Cribben, Stephen Cullen, Fran Doyle, Robert Fox, David Groom, Martin Hanley, Roisin Hunt, and Jer O'Carroll. Character cleanup, Annette Byrne, Michael Carey, Michael Cassidy, Eileen Conway, Paul Daly, Dennis Deegan, Mary Delaney, Peter Donnelly, Sylvia Fitzpatrick, Alan Fleming, Connor Flynn, Michael Gary, Paul M. Kelly, Paul Kelly, Michael Kiley, Giorgio Mardigan, Anne McCormick, Margaret McKenna, Brian McSweeney, Anne-Marie Mockler, Julie Molina, Dimpna O'Halloran, Tara O'Reilly, Terry Pike, John A. Power, Miriam Reed, Julia Ryan, Paul Shanahan, and Hugh Tatton. Assistant Xerography Supervisor, Michael Murray. Key Xerography Processors, Robert Byrne, Gerard Gogan, and Jean Dower. Xerography Processors, Mary Boylan, Gerard Carty, Pierce Cullinane, Emmett Doyle, Patrick Duffy, Wayne Farrer, Yvonne McSweeney, Dimpna Murray, Colette O'Brien, Siobhan O'Brien, Peter O'Reilly, and Kieran White.
Xerography Checkers, John Finnegan, Brendan Harris, Gillian Hunt, Stuart Johnstone, Caroline Lynch, Paul Roy, and Pauline Walsh. Markup, Sarah Jane King and Maria Farrell. Inkers, Anne Hazard, Karen Stover, and Kerry Swanson. Apprentice Inkers, Madeline Downs, Karen Dwyer, Martine Finucane, Mary Gavin, Suricha Nee Cheeman, and Kenneth Slevin. Paint Lab Assistant Supervisor, Brenda McGurk. Paint Lab Mix and Match, Damian Murphy, Melanie Strickland, Andrew Malloy, Christine Flusky, Noreen Dunn, Tracy Arundel. Cell Paint Assistant Supervisor, Neve McLean. Cell Painters, Adrienne Bell, Brian Boylan, Ann Brennan, John Brennan, Maureen Buggy, Melanie Burke, Mark Byrne, Michael Carroll, Yvonne Carthy, Vincent Clark, Nicholas Connolly, Mary Connors, Lisa Corcoran, Connor Coughlin, Orla Coughlin, Brian Doyle, Gloria Dunn, Franca Elston, Tom English, Linda Fitzpatrick, Jim Fleming, Claire Gallagher, Philip Gary, Fiona Gavin, Fiona Ginnell, Patricia Gordon, Catherine Gurry, Liam Hannon, Carl Hayes, Liam Hoban, Gary Kelligan, Sheila Kelly, Siobhan Larkin, Piers Love, Maria Malone, Joseph Manifold Jr., Petula Masterson, Anne May, Colin McGrath, Geraldine McGinnis, Ian McLaughlin, Kate Meredith, Pauline Morahan, Josephine Mulraney, Mary B. Mulvihill, Moira Murphy, John Murphy, David Nolan, Philip O'Connor, Breed O'Donnell, Paul O'Rourke, John Phelan, Julie Phelan, Gerard J.D. Phillips, Eileen Ridgway, Carrie Rumgay, Colm Slevin, Karen Somerville, Jan Stokes, and Iselt Travers. Paint Checkers, Michael Casey, Gerard Coleman, Sinead Murray, Helen O'Flynn. Apprentice Special Effects Painters, Magella Burns, Jill Coughlin, Elaine Woods. Apprentice Final Checkers, Mary Boyle and Lucy Melia. Cell Service, Anne Marie Daly, Martina McCarran, Nina Phipps, and Aoife Woodlock. Optical Technicians, Caroline Gaynor and Liam Halpin. Supervising Systems Engineer, Carl Bredendieck. Engineering, Neil Cavaney. Music and Post-Production Executive, Roy Simpson. Music performed by London Symphony Orchestra, London, England. King's College School Choir, the Choristers of St. Paul's Cathedral and Ladies' Chorus. Choral Director, Nick Curtis. Orchestrations, Greg McRitchie. Music Copyist, Vic Fraser. Music Recording, Sean Murphy. Music Editor, Jim Henriksen. Assistant Music Editor, Andrew Glenn. ADR Dialogue Engineer, Charlene Richards. ADR Recordist, Tom O'Connell. Supervising Re-Recording Mixer, Bill Rowe. Re-Recording Mixer, Ray Marin. Assistant Re-Recording Mixer, John Felsini. Supervising Sound Editor, Dan Molina. Sound Editors, Kevin Brazer and Ian Fuller. Assistant Sound Editors, Joe Gallagher and Andy Steers. Foley by TAJ Soundworks. Foley Artists, Dan O'Connell and Alicia Stevenson. Foley Mixer, Jim Ashwill. Foley Recordist, Mary Jo Lang. Color Timer, John Stanborough. Negative Cutting, Donna Bassett and Kathy Carr. Studio Operations, Fred Craig. Assistant to Mr. Sullivan, Andrew Fitzpatrick. Personnel Manager, Nora Farrell. Personnel Officer, Annabelle Conway. U.S. Personnel Officer, Ed Oliver. Amblin Controller, Bonnie Radford. Production Accountant, Rachel W. Layton. Assistants to Accountant, Susan Landers and Marie McGrath. Payroll Master, Bernadette O'Connor. Corporate Accounts, Karen Dent. Corporate Accounts Assistant, Margaret Connell. Purchasing Manager, Vincent Carrick. Purchasing Assistant, Elish Mulligan. Publicist, Sean Carberry. Publicity Assistant, Veronica Carroll. Secretary to Mr. Goldman, Cynthia L. Ankney. Production Secretary, Kira O'Donnell. Assistant to Mr. Marshall, Mary Radford. Secretary to Mr. Sullivan, Helen Mahoney. Management Secretary, Ann Costello. Personnel Secretaries, Etna Agnew and Yvonne Costello. Production Coordinator, Ken Cromar. Production DP, Fiona Keating. Production Assistants, Olivia McLean, Deborah Morgan, and Carolyn Warren. Engineering Assistant, John Henry. Transportation, Peter Morgan, Peter O'Toole, and John Vallone. Office Manager USA, Helene Blitz. Camera Stand Engineering, Mechanical Concepts Incorporated. Camera Computer, Cinetron Computer Systems Incorporated. Cell Paint Laboratory Art Color Products, Studio Facilities, Sullivan Bluth Studios Ireland Limited, Dublin, Ireland, Optical Effects, Sullivan Bluth Studios Ireland, Optical Film Effects Limited, dialogue recorded at B&B Sound Studios, Universal Studios, and Warner Hollywood Studios, ADR Recording, Goldwyn Sound and Todd A.O., music recorded at EMI Abbey Road Studios, London, England. Re-recording at Canon Elstree Studios, Borkham Wood, England. Special thanks to the Industrial Development Authority of Ireland. Dolby Stereo and selected theaters. Original soundtrack available on MCA Records, compact discs and cassettes. Color by Technicolor. This motion picture photoplay and soundtrack are protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of the photoplay and or soundtrack may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Number 29372, Motion Picture Association of America. Copyright 1988, Universal City Studios Incorporated and U-Drive Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved. A logo, an animated leaf, falls onto a golden pond. Ripples form the words, "A Don Bluth Film." Produced by Sullivan Bluth Studios. Our view zooms back from a brilliant full moon. A logo appears in silhouette in front of it. Elliot and E.T. on a flying bicycle. Letters ripple into view. Amblin Entertainment. This motion picture has been rated G, general audiences, all ages admitted, by the Classification and Rating Administration, Motion Picture Association of America.